Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you with us today as it's the first Tuesday in the year 2018. And because we have everybody here on the line, we want to start our session off with just a little bit of studio etiquette. While we're in the studio, we ask that you turn your phones on mute so that we don't hear the scuffling of your pens and your papers and things that are occurring in the background, the shuffling of your papers, animals in the background. If you would please put yourself on mute until you get ready to have something to say. And I'm sharing that now because I clearly hear someone in the background. So if you would please put your phone on mute until we're able to get started. One of the things I'm asking this year is that we would try to have a really clear sound system. While we're in the studio, if you would make sure that you don't have your phones on speaker, that would facilitate the sound as well. So let's get started with our devotion. This is Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, Your Place of Love, Acceptance, Compassion, and Empowerment. And it's this week, this very week, that we're going to talk about having a personal relationship with God. But let's go to devotion. We'll begin by having a song by June Rochelle, Worship the Lord. We'll then have scripture by Dr. James Nooks, and I will begin with prayer, and we'll do a roll call thereafter. Thank you.
Sisters and brothers, our text for this evening is Acts 17:22-29 and Revelation 2:1-5. Acts 17:22-29 reads this way. Then Paul stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious, for as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. This is what I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. He is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations, and they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill." And then Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. "To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people that you have tested, those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name, and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forgotten the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place." God adds a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Could you join me as we begin in prayer? God, we come before you, and we are so humble, so excited, so anticipatory of the teaching that you have for us today. But we know that this is the first Tuesday in the new year, and we have so many things in store for our listeners. And as we've listened to you and we've heard you, and we're excited about being a part of that, of your plan. Help us, O God, as we come before your people. And today we're trying to communicate a clear understanding of who you are to them and how important that relationship with you is. So help us tonight as we come before you, and help open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, that we might clearly understand what you want from us today and how we should live our lives. We ask these blessings in praising you for the excitement and the victory that is ours in Christ Jesus as we learn tonight and are excited about our learning that will transform our lives. We ask these blessings in your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I am This is Dr. Susie, and I'm so excited to be here tonight. This is our first Tuesday in the new year. And to start off, I want a roll call if we can. I think it's really important that we have a roll call. So who do we have on the line tonight? I know there are other people who said that they'd be here, but they would be late tonight.
Dr. Susie, this is Brett.
Okay.
And this is James.
Eric.
Okay. So we have Brett, Eric, and James currently. And there are others on the line who said they just wanted to listen tonight. And we will permit that. But this is what I would like all of you. I want to get a different version. Whoever's cooking, please put your phone on mute. We'll wait while you put your phone on mute, please. Please put your phone on mute. Thank you. Okay, so as we get going, this is what we're asking everybody to do. If you would get a translation, I have the New Living Translation. Dr. Natul, was the translation you read? NIV? Oh, that must have been Dr. Natul.
I'm sorry, NIV. I was on mute. Yeah, NIV.
Okay. So can we get someone else? Do you have the New Living Translation, Eric?
Yes.
If you do, could you turn to Acts 17, please? And we want the passage that talks about God's desiring a relationship with us. And it's if you start in 24 and 25. Excuse me.
Acts 17, 24 and
25. It goes on, 27, I'm sorry. No, it goes down. 27 is the key verse. So you can start at 26 and 27, I guess.
Yeah. 26 and 27.
And then if there's someone else. Acts 17. 26
right.
And 27.
All right.
And you have the New Living.
Correct.
Okay.
Acts 17, 26 and 27. From one man, he created all nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand which should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose in all of this was that the nations should seek after God and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us.
Amen.
So the key word that you said in there is his purpose is that the nations would seek after him. I'm going to read that through the message and see if we can get any more clarity. It says, the God who made the world and everything in it, the master of the sky, doesn't live in custom-made shrines or need human races to run errands for him. As if he couldn't take care of himself, he made the creatures don't make him. Starting from scratch, he made the entire human race and made the earth hospitable with plenty of time and space for living. So we, could seek after God and not just grope around in the dark, but actually find him. He doesn't play hide and seek with us. He's not remote. He is near. So, and if somebody would read again, Revelations, Dr. Nooks, and Eric, if you have the New Living Translation, he read NIV. If you could read Revelations 2, and I think it was the fourth verse.
Okay, Revelations 2, 4. But I have this complaint against you. 4 it says, but I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first.
Well, amen. And my version from the message says, but you walked away from your first love. Why? What's going on with you anyway? Do you have any idea how far you've fallen? A Lucifer fall. Turn back. Recover your dear early love. Okay. So, this is what we're going to talk about tonight. We're talking about the idea of having a personal relationship with God. And so I'm going to stop for a minute, and I want everybody who's talking on the line to share with me, how important do you think it is in your personal life that you have a personal relationship with God? If we could just launch that idea of what you've learned and gleaned about how important it is to have a personal relationship with God. So whoever wants to start, Eric or Dr. Nooks or Britt, just jump in there.
Well, this,
okay.
This is James.
Eric?
Yep, James, Dr. Nooks,
okay.
Go ahead.
The importance of it is everything. I mean, it's having a personal relationship with God. Is connecting with that which God intended for us to connect with. It gives me hope. It gives me purpose. It gives me meaning. I think it's important in Acts 17 when God talks about the fact that that this was done, Paul writing, but that God did all this. He created the world and put people in boundaries and limited them as to what they could do, and for the sole purpose of them wanting to seek God. And when you seek God, God's not far from any of us. You'll find him. And in all of my life, you know, before I really had a relationship with God, made the Lord my Savior, I didn't have that divinity with me. So when I would do something, it would be under my own power and my own understanding, so I thought, even though I believe God was working with me then. But now I have somebody to go with me through the storm. We hear the story about Jesus in the boat in the storm and can say, peace be still. And that presence of God in my life in every situation allows me, when I'm in a difficult situation, to have peace in my life, because I know that the one I'm connected with has all power and can change any situation, can bring me through the storm. May not change the storm, but I know that I'm going to go through it.
Okay.
And I know that I have a better place prepared for me, so I have hope.
Amen. So can you guys give me a truncated perspective of kind of, you know, what is important to you about your personal relationship with God? Why is this so crucial? Eric?
I've always looked at my personal relationship with God as him being my spiritual parent. And as a baby, I learned everything that I am able to do today from my earthly parents. They made sure I was fed. They changed my diaper. They made sure I had clothes and a warm place to sleep. They made sure that I was loved. And all those things are the same thing that God does. But a lot of us don't realize that because we reject him at every point. So that's just like, to me, like you're slapping your mother and father in the face just because they gave birth to you. You got to have that personal relationship. You got to feel that closeness to him in order for his spirit to work in you so that you can be everything that you need to be. Without him, you have nothing.
Amen.
So that's the way.
Amen, Eric?
That's the way.
Yeah, so
I'm just running
for me. Yeah, for me, it's important to have that personal relationship with God, because it helps me to make sense of this life and my purpose and helps me to get through each day, knowing that there is a reason and a guide there for me. I mean, before I did make God the center of my life and accepted Christ wholeheartedly, not just doing the baptism of just getting wet, but the true meaning of baptism spiritually, you know, was just kind of living. Living to my own accord, living as doing the things that I wanted to do, and not finding what was truly joy. Found some temporary happiness, but not true joy. And I remember that the time that it all became nonsense to me, and knew that there was supposed to be more, and I was supposed to be doing more. And so now I can't ever imagine not having a true, authentic relationship with God to help guide and direct me, because I don't think most of us realize that we're not just here for ourselves. We're not just here just because.
Come on.
I mean, there is a purpose for our lives in this plane. And there'll be even a greater purpose in the next plane of eternity, whichever division or sphere that you spend eternity in, because there are only two. But it helps me to know that my life has purpose, and that I should be working as best I can to fulfill that purpose.
Amen. So Dr. Nunn, Brett, and Eric, all of you have said some key essential understandings that it's essential. Essential. It's not something that you might want to do, but it's essential to have a personal, authentic relationship with Christ. And Dr. Nunn clearly gave reasons as to why that's important. But the scripture that we read talked about in Acts 17:27 that God wants us to know God. That we need to seek the Lord. We read that in the Acts 17 passage. And 1 John 4:10 says, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and became an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So we know the love of God is there. We know how important it is that we have God in our lives, and how he seeks to be in an intimate, close relationship with us. So what I'd like us to do at this time is ask the question, so if we know that, then what's the dilemma? What's the challenges that have occurred? So, Eric, if you could get Isaiah 53:6, Dr. Nooks, if you could get John 3:19-20. Brett, do you have your Bible?
Yes.
Okay, if you could get Ephesians 2:1. I think that's what I wrote down. 2:1. And if it's not, well,
okay.
No, just a second. So,
all right.
I want us to start. Don't read yours until last, Rick. Don't read yours until last. So, what I need for us, the question I just asked is, now that we understand that God desires and seeks for us to have this intimate relationship, what is the issue? What actually happened to deter that? And Eric, whoever has Isaiah 53:6, would you read that, please?
This is Eric. All of us have strayed away like sheep. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the guilt and sins of all of us.
Whoa.
I mean,
so what does that mean,
so,
brother Eric?
Well, I mean, that's it. You know, God created us and made us to have a relationship with God, and we have not tried to do that. We've tried to do whatever we want to do on our own. We have followed the path of our own choosing and desires, and that's not why we were created. And in doing that causes a lot of confusion and chaos and hurt and pain that is unnecessary. If we would only do what we were created to do. And I think that's the the point that a lot of us forget is that God created man so that man may choose to have a relationship with God. He didn't create man to make him have a relationship. He didn't create man to worship him at his command. God had beings to do special things that he needed them to do, and he created that. But he created man so that man would choose to have a relationship with him. And he showed man love beyond degree and all that he prepared and gave man and allowed him to rule over. If you go back to Genesis 1 and 2, when he talks about creation and God letting man have dominion over everything that he had created. And what he did for man and how he showed man, you know, great kindness and love. And yet we have a tendency to lust for those things that we think we deserve, should have, or that we want to do, and think that there should be no consequences behind that, especially when the Creator has given you instructions of what would be best for your good. So, I mean, we've all strayed away like sheep. Anybody didn't know anything about sheep, and I don't pretend to because I'm not a farmer. You know, sheep kind of go their own way in oblivion. They're just following whatever it is that they are perceiving that they want to do at that particular point in time, not being concerned about anything other than what they're doing at that particular time. And it says we have left God's path to follow our own. And because of that, Christ had to come, is what it says. They laid on him all the guilt and sin of all of us, is that was laid upon Christ during the crucifixion.
Amen. So that's part of the relation. What the dilemma is then, right, Brother Eric? It's our choices that we make, right? One of the reasons why our relationship with God is broken.
Yeah, the constant conflict in us of do I submit to God's will or do I follow my own desires and will? That's a constant conflict, and Paul wrote to us about that goes on daily.
Yes.
And but we have to make the choice to stay in a relationship. So, go ahead, James.
I just want to say that this really helps explain the conflict that we have with each other and with God. Because just like in the garden, Eve and Adam, they wanted to be like God. So that's what Satan's temptation was, that you can be like God yourself. And this is what we've been trying to do, and that we put each other down. We think we ought to be up, and we don't even look up to God and realize that all of us should be worshiping God and praising God, and we seek to be a God ourselves. And just like Eric said, when I would do good, evil is always present. There's a war going on inside of us, and Satan takes advantage of this. And we find ourselves so isolated, not only from God, but from each other. And just like in Acts 17, God is present. God's not far from us. And we shouldn't be far from each other if we're in God, but we are. And Satan just rejoices at the separation between people and how we are at each other's throat because somebody wants to be God and subjugate other people. And it's just, if we would only worship God and realize that we're no better than our sisters and brothers, but we all should be worshiping God, perhaps we would stop fighting each other so much for position and authority and power and wealth.
Amen. And Dr. Nooks, let's just take a second for a moment and bring that to the razor's edge to talk about how that manifests in our world today. We truly got the point that God loves us, wants us to seek him and be in relationship to him, as we want to have that desire, because it says, you know, even when we were in sin, even when we didn't love God, God loved us, you know. And so with that kind of passion and love for us, something happened as after Christ died on the cross to build a relationship for us that destroyed it or began to break that relationship up. And Eric read the scripture that said that was clearly had to do with our choices, the choices that we make every day to either accept Christ or reject Christ. And we have to look around, and the very thing that you were saying, Dr. Nooks, is that this lack of love is not just accountability for our relationship with God, but this is our relationship with one another. And it's very apparent as we look out at our culture and we see that there is division. We see that there is not the love of caring for one another and reaching out for one another, providing for one another, helping the homeless, helping the poor, helping those, you know, which is Eric's job, is helping those who don't have a place to stay. You know, we don't do that like we used to do it. And specifically, yeah, I think God is calling us as Christians to see that our relationship is broken when we don't do that. And so, Dr. Nooks, if you will read John 3:19-20 to just try to solidify that, how that men actively oppose God. And we see that in John 3:19-20. If you'd read that, please.
This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. My Lord.
So how does that tie in, Dr. Nooks?
When we're not connected with God, we're in darkness. And people that are in darkness don't really know the light. The light is foreign to them. Have you ever been in a dark room and you try to go out into the sunlight, burns your eyes, you can't hardly see? This is the way it is. People that are in darkness love to stay in darkness, and the darkness is sin. Anything that's separate from God is sin. So people that are in darkness like to stay in darkness. They don't want to be in the light. God wants us to be in the light. I'm so glad that God wants to save us. And God loves us so much that he even gave his son for us. All the effort God has made for us to just come into the light and seek him. And yet, we're crawling around in the darkness, not wanting to come into the light, into the light that God has for us, the existence that God has for us, because we like the darkness, because Amen. Our deeds are not pleasing to God. And many of us know that. You know, many people know that. And so, you know, that somebody says, treat people right. Don't try to be greedy. Love people. Help those the homeless. Help those in the need. Help those that are sick. And we're sitting there saying, I don't want to do that. I want to have something for myself. Why should I help them? You know, so we stay in that condition of not loving and not understanding that God loves us so much and wants to share his love with us. And we ought to share love with each other also.
Amen.
Yeah,
so
this is Eric.
I want to reiterate that I...
Dr.
Go ahead,
Susan, can I say this? I think one of the things, because Dr. Nooks is absolutely right, but I think one of the things that we all miss is that the light is liberating.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, when you come into the light, it's liberating. I mean, you see clearly, you begin to notice things, and the same thing with this is that when we confess our sins, that's liberating. That's bringing us back to the light. That's giving us right standing, if you will, in front of God. And so we need to understand how liberating the light is for our lives, and not trying to to stay away from the light because we are in darkness. Accept the fact that you are in darkness when sinning, but come to the light and confess those sins and let God, through Christ Jesus, take that away from you.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Brother Eric, I was just, what you were saying, I was thinking about the commercial that says an apple is an apple. You know, the reality is that sin is sin. But we can make ourselves believe that who we are, what we say, what we do is right. And it's not anything that we need to change or we need to be liberated from. That becomes, in our minds, an apple. But the reality, the truth will set you free, as you said, is liberating. And you cannot live in a lie, even though there are people who would have you believe that the lie is the truth. And that's the biggest dilemma today, is there's so many people who no longer want us to believe what is true, what is light, what is, as you were saying, Eric, liberating. And so they want us to stay bound in the lie and the falsity. But what I want us to understand is God, again, as you all have clearly said, is God wants us to have this personal relationship because of what he did. Even when we were in sin, even when we didn't love him back, he was loving us. And then he wants us to seek him and wanted us to have that, wanted us to understand that he was so near, so close, and that what happened with that relationship, when we accepted Christ as our personal Savior, we made choices, and we continue to make choices, not just then when we accept, before we accepted Christ, we make choices today that take us away from our relationship with God, that separate us and keep our relationship from being as tight as it should be or used to be or want to be. And so we actively oppose God, as Dr. Nooks was saying in this scripture, with understanding how the darkness and the light is. And as you were saying, Eric, we have to choose liberation. And the result of us choosing those negative choices that pull us away from God is what Brett is going to read in Ephesians 2:1. If you would read Ephesians 2:1, it's very short.
Can I say one thing? I just wanted to say, in that personal relationship, people need to understand that this is a walk with God. I mean, it's not like you have to run somewhere and find God. It's every day, all day long. God is with you. That's a personal relationship.
Amen.
And God knows your mess ups. God knows your successes. God knows your hurts and your challenges. It's a daily walk. It's like, God, hey, God, how you doing today? It's not like I have to run to some place and find God, and I'm in a, you know, I'm separated from God, and now I have to run. You know, it's not a personal relationship. Means that God is with you. God is there in all of your walks of life, and I just wanted our readers to understand, our listeners to understand that.
Thank you, Dr. Nixon. Brett, before you read that, Dr. Susie, I want us also to be mindful that we have a great example of that in David. David was called a man after God's own heart by God. And we know that David messed up. But the thing was that when he messed up and he was convicted of that mess up, he went to God and he asked forgiveness and he humbled himself and he was contrite. And David was guilty of committing murder, having murder committed
Amen.
On somebody, and adultery, and all kind of
Amen.
Other things that just went against what God said. But yet he was called a man after God's own heart because when he realized and knew what was wrong, he humbled himself and he sought to rectify it. And that's all God
Amen.
Asked for us, which is why Christ died. And you're
Amen.
Right, Dr. Nooks. It is a marathon. It is not a sprint. It is a marathon.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So you guys kind of went a little bit ahead of where I was going, but let's hold on to that thought. Because what we were talking about is when we make the choices to oppose God by not staying in the light, by choosing the light, by enjoying the light, then the result of our choices to resist or ignore God is what Brett is getting to talk about. Go ahead and read Ephesians 2:1, Brett.
Okay, this is the King James version. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It says, "And you did he make alive when ye were dead through your trespasses and sins."
Amen.
Like Dr. Susan
and my version
said, is short. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Brent. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I also have it in the NIV where it talks basically the same thing, but it says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins."
Amen. So, and that's what happens, Brett. When we make the choice to resist or ignore God, it results in spiritual death. And that's why Dr. Nooks and Eric were talking about how important this is to have that personal relationship with God. And we have to understand, what did God do for us as a result of this? And this is what Dr. Nooks and Eric was talking about, is that those of us, we have to understand that when we made those mistakes, or when we continue to make those mistakes, Christ came to do what we couldn't do for ourselves. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And that is exactly what Eric and Dr. Nooks just said. Because of our relationship, he bled and died for us. He went to bat for us. And again, I want to remind us, even when we were in sin, even when we didn't care about God, he came into this world specifically to bring us to his Father. And it says in John 14:6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And he died, as you guys said, to pay the penalty for each of our sins. 1 Peter 3:18 says, For Christ also suffered once for sins, and we just read about what sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. So now that we understand why we have such an intimate relationship and desire this intimate relationship, because we know all that God has done for us. And I want us to read one more thing.
Dr. Sue, this is Eric, and before you give that scripture, can I please read the rest of Ephesians 2 down to verse 10?
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
This is the New Living Translation, starting at verse 1. "Once you were dead, doomed forever because of your many sins. You used to live just like the rest of the world, full of sin, obeying Satan, the mighty prince of the power of the air, spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passions and desires of our evil nature. We were born with an evil nature, and we are under God's anger just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so very much that even while we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's special favor that you have been saved, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ, and we are seated with him in the heavenly realms, all because we are one with Christ Jesus. And so God can always point to us as examples of an incredible wealth of his favor and kindness towards us, as shown in all that he has done for us through Christ Jesus. God saved you by his special favor when you believed. You cannot take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that you have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And Eric, that is so crucial because as we start the new year, there's two ways we can look at this. For people who have not accepted Christ as their personal Savior, this is why you would accept. You'd accept because of what Christ has done for you, that he loved you in the midst of your sins, that he died on the cross, and he's done all these things that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And understanding that it is your sin that separates you from God. But Christ paid the penalty so that you would be, as you said, Eric, liberated, put in the light, and be made whole. And so for those of us who are already believers, I want us to look at something else. I want us to look at the fact to be reminded of what God has done for us, to remind ourselves that daily we make choices that cause the relationship we have with God to be strained. Whenever we don't choose Christ, we choose sin. Sin, the wages of sin is death. Any sin separates us from God. God cannot be in the midst of sin. So we are separated when that occurs in our lives. And so we got to understand that we then have to continue to put Jesus in our lives and have that focus to be on our personal relationship. As you, Dr. Nooks, was somebody was saying that we got to walk with God, we got to be close to God. And I want to ask the question that we leave with tonight is the revelations question, which we'll pick up on again next week. Dr. Nooks, would you or somebody read the bread? I don't know who has it. If somebody would read Revelations, the second chapter, fourth verse. Anybody have it?
Yeah, hold this.
Just read up
you.
To the point where it talks about.
Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent,
Amen.
I will come to
Amen.
You and remove your lampstand from its place.
Right.
You have
so let's focus on the piece where he's saying, he's saying, and this version is the message. I don't know if anybody's got the New Living Translation, but this one says, but you walked away from your first love. Now, I think a lot of times people try to make the analogy of this like being in a marriage. You know, we got a relationship and people get an attitude and they think about how when they were first married in relationship, it was all giddy fun and wonderful. Then after a while, you know, it ain't fun no more. It's just a routine daily thing, you know. I don't think this is just what it's talking about. I think this is challenging us because at the time, I think the scripture is trying to get us to remember that this is talking not just about, it's not just having us talk about our relationship just with God, but I think it's also talking about our relationship with one another. You know, we got to understand that the church of Ephesus was having some problems. They were, but they were doing some things right. This is the second generation of people. They were going to church. They were participating in service. But there was something missing. God wants our heart. Sometimes when we start doing things out of religion, out of ritual, out of routine, that's not good enough. God wants us to get back to where we have that affection of the heart. God's more interested in our heart and our affections than anything else. You know, the Pharisees were guilty of putting religious and biblical precision and all that in front of the heart. And I think God is getting us to choose right, to remind us right now, if it's a choice between your heart and your mind and your academics, if it's a choice between anything and you're giving God your heart, God wants you to choose to have a heart relationship with God. and what that looks like, we can talk about in a minute. Anybody want to give us some feedback on that as well? We got a few minutes. We can talk about that.
Well, in the New Living Translation, Dr. Susie, it even says, "But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first."
Yes.
So that supports what you were saying. So, yeah, and I would like to talk about this church at Ephesus, because they found out the false prophets. I mean, they were good at finding out people that were false and sort of like convicting them, you know. And we do that sometime in the church. We find out people's sins, and we want to point them out and say, "You're wrong," and we are wrong. But if you don't love me, then you've missed the whole point. I think that's what Jesus is saying here. If we need to love people, if we don't love in the church, then what's our purpose? I mean, are we there to point the finger at people and talk about how bad they are? Because we need to be pointed at ourselves too, and talking about how bad we are.
Our purpose is. I agree with that wholeheartedly. I agree with that. I'm just saying I agree with that. I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Okay.
And I think that that's what the it's 7:55. I'm sorry. I also think that what the text is also trying to let us know is that, as you were saying, Dr. Nooks, we can and Erica, you can help me out on here, but when we're walking down the street and we see the homeless, sometimes we don't even pay any attention. We don't blink. It's just routine. We've lost the need to love and care about people. Wasn't that you last week, Eric, talking about how sometimes you'll see people and you'll help them, and you were giving the example?
Yeah.
I think we need to fully understand that we have to have a heart for only God but each other. So and I'm going to ask each of you to kind of to sum up where we are tonight. We're going to pick back up next week on talking about what it's like to leave your first love. But can I get a summarization tonight of what each of you think that you heard and how you feel and what God is saying to you as we speak through the Holy Spirit about this personal relationship, and how our radio audience might be hearing that, and the questions that they may have as they're going home tonight, as we've talked about this? Can I get somebody to start?
Yeah, this is Britt.
Sure.
Before we do this, I wanted to say something, because in Revelations, what was just read, it talks about a lampstand. And I don't think a lot of people in our radio audience really understand the significance of the lampstand. Because that lampstand.
Well, we can get into that one next week, Britt, if you don't mind.
Okay.
If you don't mind, we'll pick that up next week when we talk about it. That's just a part of the next phrase we're going into. So you're right on it. So let's not introduce a different truth. Let's not talk about a different knowledge. We'll talk about that one next week. But tell me, go ahead and start for us. What is it about, as we've talked about today, in forming this personal relationship and understanding why we have it, the options and the consequences of it, and where it leads those of us who are believers today? Where does that leave us?
Yeah. Well, if the radio audience has been listening carefully, you'll know that God wants to have a personal relationship with each and every one of us. He wants us to be able to love him wholeheartedly. And when you give that type of love, then he opens doors for you that you probably don't even have open right now, but you wish it was. He is such a great God. And he has given his only son for us so that we can live a life more abundantly, free from sin, free from anything that you can think of that would harm you or hurt you or keep you from moving forward. God has already prepared the way for you. All you got to do is follow in his footsteps. That's why he gave us
Amen.
All this that we read tonight. It's just proof of his goodness and love for us.
Amen. Brother Eric, because I know you got to go soon, so give yours.
Yeah, so for me in the radio audience, if you just go back and read Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, I mean, we were sinners, we are sinners. Christ came, died for us because of God's great mercy and love for us. We now have the opportunity to be seated in the heavenly realm, not because of anything that we've done, not because we're so special, but because of God, and he wants us to be with him and have a relationship with him. And it is liberating walking in the light. It's not that as you walk in the light that you're not going to make mistakes, you're not going to stumble, you're not even going to fall down, but you get up because the light gives you clear sight and vision. And that is important, that God loves you enough to allow his son to die on a cross for you, to give you
Amen.
The opportunity to spend eternity in God's presence.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Nix?
The greatness of God, it's such a privilege to be loved by God. I guess that's the message I would like to leave those that are listening in. We can't get too bad for God. And no matter how high we think we are, God is higher. And God loves us so much, and God has all power, and yet God abides with us. What a privilege to be loved like that. And to for God to sacrifice God's self for me, for you as an individual, and wanting you to abide with him so much that he sacrificed himself for you, so that even though you mess up, you can have forgiveness of sin. And God doesn't want to be distant from you. God wants to be close to you and walk with you. That's that intimate relationship that we have with God, and it's so wonderful. And I know sometimes we think we want to have fun and we want to do this and do that. There is no greater joy than to be with God and have God with you, walking, abiding. It's wonderful.
Amen, amen. This is Dr. Susie. I just wanted to say a prayer. Not just say a prayer, but there's some things I wanted to point out. And I think that God has just been blessing us through this Bible study as we have all week, and God is just so gracious to us. And we at the new year, and with this new year, we have the opportunity to start over. We can start over and create goals. We have a new year's resolution of having a tight relationship with God so that through the rest of the year, we can grow and grow with the Lord and become stronger and stronger. And, you know, I was reading the Daily Word today, and it was so awesome. It talked about three things. It says God's intimate presence in our lives produces peace, purpose, and power. Now, each of us need to understand that we need those things in order to be non-anxious, to have peace, to have purpose in our lives and power. And if we will have that personal relationship with God, we can have those things. We can be clear about that. And so I wrote this, and I just want to say this quick prayer, and then I want to ask if Dr. Nix would extend the invitation. But, you know, I'm always inspired by Eric's grandmother. And so I wrote, "Dear God, make it so clear to me that a blind man wouldn't stumble and a fool wouldn't err, that I would know and believe that your intimate presence in my life will produce peace, power, and purpose. Let me get it, that every day that you've given me breath is one way in which you show me that you love me. Even when my behavior has shown that I haven't loved you back, Help me to understand that you've given me the opportunity to seek a personal and intimate relationship with you, that you have given me grace and mercy to walk with me in hopes that I will use my free will and come to value the fullness of you and your love. Help me to see that you counted the cost before the cross and still chose to die for me in hopes that I would count the cost each day and choose to fall in love with you over and over again. I just ask that you would consider that prayer that I offered up, that you would remember in your own quiet time, in your personal place, who God is to you, what God has done to bring you through to 2018, and how having God on your side is the side that's best to be on. If there's any prayer requests or praise reports, we can receive that now, or if not, Dr. Nooks, would you go ahead and extend a call to discipleship and close us for the evening?
God, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love, which passes all understanding. We thank you for this love that is so great that it's sacrificial. God, help us to love you as you love us. Help us to love you the way we used to. Help us to love each other. And there may be someone that's on the line or that's listening in that perhaps there's something moving in your spirit and you feel like you want to give your life to Christ and you want to be a part of this God that is so wonderful that we've talked about tonight. And we ask you just to repeat after me. God, I love you. And God, I want to give my life to you. I believe that Jesus is Christ and Lord, and I want Christ to be the Lord of my life. I confess my sins and realize that I've done some things that are not pleasing in your sight. And God, I give those and lay those on your altar and ask you just to forgive me. And God, to become in and be a part of my life, I give my life to you. I receive you as my Savior. And tonight, at this moment, you can be saved right now. For if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, and we do believe that Jesus is risen, he's at the right hand of the Father right now, we shall be saved. It doesn't say we might. We shall be saved. And so, God, I invite you into my life right now. And we rejoice with you tonight. You're saved. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Join us next week, Revelations, the second chapter, the first through the fourth verse.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.